Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. When we left off last time, we had a rather speedy trip through the lives of the patriarchs to find in the Bible a word. This is the Hebrew word emeth. Emeth. In transliteration, we can spell this E-M-E-T-H. I hope you will write that word down in your Bible. This word is used 127 times in the scripture and is translated into the English as faithfulness and truth, true, truly, and right. With the use of this word, the authors of scripture mean that God is faithful and God is true. God's faithfulness and his truthfulness go together. There is no separation of these excellencies in the living God. God is faithful and God is true. In this series, we are discovering the faithfulness of God, and it is important to find his great faithfulness in the narrative of the Bible. So if you want to follow along today, turn to Genesis chapter 24 and 32, and 2 Samuel chapter 7. Genesis chapters 24, 32, and 2 Samuel 7. The Bible is in two parts, what we call Old and New Testaments. Really, the Old Testament is the Hebrew Bible, or we could say the First Testament, and it is essential to us. Many Christians emphasize the New Testament to the neglect of the Old Testament. That is a big mistake and leads to all sorts of practical problems. To borrow a word of warning and encouragement to us in that New Testament, the Apostle Paul says, "Now these things happened to them as an example, and they were written for our instruction." That was 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, and "these things happened to them" refers us back to the Hebrew Bible, like what is in Genesis and 2 Samuel. Notice, what is written there serves as an example for us. They were written for our instruction. What was written was then long preserved so that you and I can learn from them. This is why we need to read, study, think about, and apply texts like the one we will read from today. And next time we will read a New Testament text that cannot be understood apart from what we will read in the Old Testament. Well, what emerges from Genesis and 2 Samuel is the faithfulness and truthfulness of the Lord. In Genesis, we find this in families. Genesis is a book about families. This is why the genealogies are there and why we must not pass over them as if God just threw them in there to upset read through the Bible in a year programs and plans. The genealogies reveal the faithfulness of God to real people in a real place at a real time. And in the second book of Samuel, we again find the faithfulness and truthfulness of God, this time to a man, the King David. Friends, the lives of ancient people speak to us modern people. We must be alert and pay attention to their example. I hope you delight in the Hebrew Bible, this Old Testament, as much as you do in the New Testament. Well, without repeating the broader story that was told last time, let me just remind you of the context of this word, emeth, and how it is used. God made remarkable promises to Abraham, and those promises continued their fulfillment in his son Isaac. So we come to Genesis chapter 24 and verse 27, and when Abraham's servant Eliezer has successfully found a bride, Rebekah, for Isaac, the servant declares, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me." Genesis 24, verse 27. That word translated truth in verse 27 is emeth. Eliezer declares God has not forsaken his truth. God has not forsaken his faithfulness. God made the promise to Abraham, and now God is keeping the promise to Abraham's son Isaac. The Lord is true to himself. His truth, his faithfulness is alive in the lives of the patriarchs. And that includes Isaac's son, Jacob. We met Jacob when he was greatly afraid and distressed. He was returning in the way of his brother Esau, and Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men. Well, the last time Jacob saw his twin, Esau was spitting mad at him. Hence the fear. In verses 9 and 10 of Genesis 32, we read Jacob's earnest prayer to God. Genesis 32, verses 9 and 10. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, Return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you. I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother Esau, for I fear him. In verse 10 is that word, faithfulness. It is emeth. Jacob is counting on God's faithfulness. Even though Jacob was unworthy of God's faithfulness, as we are, still the Lord was faithful. Do you see how the faithfulness of our Heavenly Father runs through families? Perhaps you can think about your own family, your genealogy, and rejoice at just how faithful God has been to you through the generations that precede you. I hope so. In my own line, especially through my grandfather on my mother's side, the Lord has been steadfast beyond measure to our family. Throughout Genesis, we find the steadfast loyalty of God to his people, and this was written for our instruction. But read on to see how Jacob was blessed by God's faithfulness when he meets Esau. Due to time, we continue to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Again, we will find our word. But first, I want to give a little background on this passage, because it is very, very important in all of the Bible and the still unfolding plan and purpose of God for the Jewish people, whom we love and with whom we have so much in common. Let's take our time here. Could I just show you the verse that holds this Hebrew word emeth? I could, but that is not good Bible study method, and it leaves out the compelling and true story. Let's refresh our memory, shall we? Or learn about this for the first time. At the beginning of this chapter, King Saul and his son Jonathan die. David is made king over Judah and then king over all Israel. He is God's chosen servant. And as the sovereignty of God unfolds over the course of his long life, we find the faithfulness of the Lord in a covenant he makes with David. That covenant is what this chapter is about. We call this the Davidic covenant. Later, in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5, listen to what David himself says. For God has made an everlasting covenant with me. This is one of five irrevocable, unconditional covenants God makes. The first is the Noahic covenant made with Noah. The second is the Abrahamic covenant made with Abraham. The third is the Levitic or priestly covenant. This is the fourth, the Davidic covenant made with David. And the fifth is the new covenant, later on revealed through the prophet Jeremiah and fulfilled in Christ's death and resurrection. Those of us alive today in Jesus live under the new covenant. We are a new covenant people. As 2 Samuel 7 begins, David is in his house, and the Lord has given him rest from all his enemies. Which, if you have been reading to this point, you know David's enemies were many, and they were hard to handle. But the king is at rest, and he comes up with what he thinks is a great idea, a way to honor the Lord. He wants to build God a house. Nathan, the prophet, mentioned here for the first time, affirms David's idea and tells him to do all that is in your mind, for the Lord is with you. But then, on the very same night, the word of the Lord comes to Nathan and emphatically says, I am paraphrasing, David will not build me a house. In fact, God reveals that just the opposite will happen. David will not build God a house, but God will build David a house. The Lord turns it around. It is important to know that by house, David means a temple, and that by house, God means a dynasty. I am reading 2 Samuel 7, verse 11. The Lord declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. And the Lord repeats this and adds to it in verse 16, Your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever. Your throne shall be established forever. Now this is an extraordinary covenant that God makes with David. And herein is much, much faithfulness. And we will continue the story next time when we will learn about the steady, consistent, eternal loyalty of the Lord God to David. God is faithful. He was faithful to David, and he is faithful to us. Well, I hope that you will continue with us in this series, God is Faithful, because God is. Thank you for listening to this God is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.